This is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the July 29th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Arthur Village Board approved TIF grant, discuss event parking by Ariana Cherry. A new commercial building is coming to Arthur after the Village Board approved a $75,000 tax increment financing, TIF, grant at their meeting on Monday, July 20th to assist Brandon Yoder with the construction at 400 West Progress Street. Yoder told trustees he was excited to finally have the opportunity to build within the community. I've been looking for a place in town since I started in 2013, Yoder said. I'd rather be in town. This is a great spot to do it. There's been nothing down there, so it'll be a nice improvement. Board members noted the project meets the goal of the village's TIF program by encouraging new commercial development, improving property, and supporting local business growth. Yoder said the project is expected to create at least one job initially, with potential for additional employment in the future. He also noted local contractors will be used throughout construction. The grant was approved unanimously and will be distributed on a reimbursement basis. The board also approved moving forward with additional fencing at the Village Lagoon property to create more parking for major community events, including the annual rodeo and tractor pull. Village officials explained that truck pulling events have been continuing to grow, with larger vehicles creating parking challenges for participants and spectators. Trustees noted that approximately 2 years ago, organizers discussed relocating the event because of limited space. Extending the fenced area would provide additional parking and help ensure the events can continue to grow. If several trees are removed, officials estimate approximately 40 additional feet of usable parking could be created. Trustees emphasized that any improvements must still allow village crews to safely access the area with mowing equipment. After discussion, an estimated fencing expense not to exceed $7,500, contingent upon partnering with event organizers to remove trees, relocate materials, and bring in additional fill dirt, was approved. Trustees also encouraged staff to seek bids from local contractors for the project. While some of the work may not be completed this year, officials agreed the improvements will benefit two of Arthur's biggest annual events. Other business discussed and voted on. Finance Officer Erica Carter presented the June financial report, reporting the village June bank statement balance is $644,000, while water and sewer funds totaled $136,000. Carter also reported the village recently renewed three certificates of deposit totaling approximately $5 million at an interest rate of 5.2%. Monthly expenditures totaled $52,000. Public Works Director Grant Coram reported the village plans to begin doing chip on oil on August 3rd, following the Moultrie-Douglas County Fair. Trustees voted to waive the building process for the village insurance contract and approve continuing coverage through the Illinois Municipal League Risk Management Association. Village officials said they have been pleased with the association's service and are hopeful the village's rates will remain unchanged next year despite anticipated statewide increases. Board also discussed an offer from Jeremy Hale to purchase village-owned property at 7417 South Union Street for $5,000. Hale told the trustees his offer reflected the property's limitations, including the alley, underground utilities, and cable lines extending into the property from the roadway. He also noted the nearby property where a home previously burned may soon have a modular home constructed. Public Works Director Grant Coram said the village has approximately $16,000 invested in the property through demolition and maintenance, while village attorney Kenny Crossman said the original purchase price was approximately $11,000. Trustees noted the property has been owned by the village for about 8 years, although it had previously been declared excess property, it had not yet been advertised for sale. Trustee Matt Bernius said the village should complete its due diligence by advertising the property and accepting bids before considering a sale. The board declined Hale's offer at this time and directed staff to proceed with advertising the property before taking further action. Trustees also approved the monthly expenditures, $52,000. During the discussion, Coram reported that lightning had damaged equipment at the sewer plant, including a cellular modem, and the village expects to file an insurance claim for repairs. The next article from the Tuscola City Council, approve IDOT agreement by David Porter. The Tuscola City Council on Monday approved an agreement with the Illinois Department of Transportation regarding the widening of Route 45 in Champaign County. The water main, jointly owned by Tuscola and Arcola, runs along the route, and some of it will need to be moved. Most of the expense will be paid by the state, but there is a right area of state right-of-way that joint water agency will have to pay the cost of $83,000. Alta Long, city treasurer, said the amount is far less than originally anticipated. The city was able to use ground-penetrating radar to prove to the state that the line was deep enough in some areas it would not need to be disturbed. She said the city originally thought the cost would exceed $1 million. The Arcola City Council approved the agreement last week. The only other action item was the consent agenda, which included community building leases with alcohol to Valeria Arena for a birthday party August 8th and Maureen Jones for a wedding reception August 22nd. The next article, Infrastructure Report Highlights Work Done in Douglas County by Jacob Hamm. A newly released report by the Illinois Economic Policy Institute, the ILEPI, discusses the impact of infrastructure investments across the state. Here in Douglas County, there's been over $23 million invested in road repairs from increased motor fuel tax funds, local government bonds, and grants for airport upgrades and transit improvements since 2019. The county did not receive any grants for bike and pedestrian infrastructure compared to other counties in the transportation area, which encompasses Douglas, Piatt, DeWitt, Champaign, Vermilion, and Edgar counties. In 2024, the state's Department of Transportation spent an additional $37 million resurfacing Interstate 57 from the Cole Douglas County line to just north of Route 36. The Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity awarded the city of Arcola nearly $2 million to replace sewer lines, manhole linings, and pavement removal and replacement. The Rebuild Illinois program was launched in 2019 to pay for infrastructure repairs across the state. To pay for these repairs, registration fees on passenger and commercial vehicles were raised, along with the state's motor fuel tax being increased from 19 cents per gallon to 38 cents per gallon. Prior to this increase, the state motor fuel tax had not been increased since 1990. It has been raised again since then due to inflation, but a planned increase this past July was halted by the state legislature. Additional revenue for the Rebuild Illinois plan has exceeded $2 billion each year for the past five fiscal years, according to data from the Comptroller's Office and study. According to the study, for every dollar of infrastructure investment that Illinois has spent since 2020, approximately $1.80 of economic activity has been generated both by direct and indirect investment by construction workers and other sectors of the economy pertaining to infrastructure. The economic impact of $1.72, almost $2 return on investment stems from the direct construction workers employed first, and then there's the indirect or supply chain related economy activity. So materials that will be used for projects, equipment that will be used for projects, and then those people who are employed, construction workers and those employed by the supply chain, they spend money at local establishments, said Frank Manzo, an economist at ILEPI. Mary Tyler, the transportation director of ILEPI, discussed how the study was conducted across the state. It was probably about a three-month timeline of putting it together, Tyler said. She said the main portion of the study was going through public data of state and local tax revenues with the IDOT data from each year, grant funding, among other sources of revenue and funding. It was weeks of data collection and organization, and ultimately the data got passed over to Frank to do the economic analysis, she said. Manzo quoted a CNBC study published in July that ranked Illinois' infrastructure as third best in the country. The study was broken down by several factors. Illinois ranked third overall in infrastructure behind Ohio and Virginia. Illinois ranked lower in other areas of the study, such as business friendliness, ranking 44th out of 50 and 29th out of 50 for the state's overall economy compared to other states. And the last first page article, Eberhardt Village has new owners and a new name, Garden View West, by Marty Yackel. Garden View West is the new name of the facility formerly known as Eberhardt Village. O.J. Miller, Tim and Monica Miller, Fred Helmuth, and Dennis Plank are the new owners and caretakers for Garden View West. O.J. owns Garden View, and he and the others felt calling the home for seniors Garden View West would be a good tide, especially since several have been transitioned from Garden View ended up needing the care that can be provided in an assisted living or intermediate care facility. The partnership came to be when Helmuth and Plank, who had been on the board of directors of Eberhardt, approached O.J. Miller with ideas for improving care for seniors in Arthur. Tim and Monica Miller had heard about the plan and approached O.J. about becoming involved, and he was very happy to have them on the board as well. Monica stated, "We wanted to honor his history of the Eberhards, and we didn't want a name to disappear. Plans are to have a room or a memorial to the Eberhardt family because of what they did for Arthur. The Arthur home has been in place since 1959, and the assisted living side is 18 years old. Fred had previously noted the many challenges for the old board, but that corporate control was not the way to go with senior care. All agreed about the importance of keeping ownership local and privately owned. Private ownership has too often gone by the wayside for these facilities lately, and they become impersonal. Tim stated that Fred had told them that he was on the Eberhardt board, that if we are as a community don't have a way to take care of our elders, those who raised us, then what? It's a way to ensure that there is something in the community for our elderly, for those who have been part of our lives. So many in our community have already connections with the current residents. Another advantage to local ownership is that owners are on site every day, and as Monica said, you don't have to make five phone calls to get something done. In addition to that, the group wanted to make special note as to how wonderful and helpful the staff has been, and are very much on board and excited about the future plans for the facility. Of course, there is a lot of planning in a project like this, and naturally it can be a little bit overwhelming, OJ said. We just sat dead in the water for about 6 months, but now we want people to know we are alive and well and making plans. On that note, they're trying to get the word out on their Facebook page and by other means. Monica stated they're hoping to involve the community more. People are welcome to come and visit. They hope to have more interactions with the community and with the schools. They also want the public to know that they have interim rooms and respite rooms where people can come for a week to 90 days to see what they think. Winter's a good time to check it out. Also, those released from the hospital but not ready to go home can come out for a time. They also have places for families to stay while visiting a resident. Because the campus encompasses 20 acres, the facility is not landlocked, which leaves room for expansion and an opportunity for growth. And all noted that plans can also change. At one time, there had been talk of tearing down the nursing home side of Eberhardt, but the plan is now to remodel and update where needed and leave the structure in place. They hope to use it for the next level of care, both intermediate and memory care. As all the Millers noted, intermediate care is something often not available for those who may need more assistance and more than assisted living but are not ready for skilled nursing care. Independent living, assisted living, intermediate care, and memory care are a natural progression. They're working on licensing for both intermediate and memory care. The assisted living side is currently licensed for 56 residents. OJ mentioned that one of the first things they're excited about are plans to add an outdoor space, a Three Seasons type patio to have outdoor events, or just a place for the residents to be able to go outside and enjoy the fresh air. Also, an open house and ribbon cutting are planned for later this fall. The public will be invited, but all are welcome to come, give a call, and take a tour at any time. They also hope that residents of the community feel free to share ideas on way to improve. All noted that they love the direction this is going, and the closeness that they have makes a good team. They are proud to be part of something for all the community, but particularly for the residents who call this place home, for the staff and the co-workers. They hope to always base ideas on what is best for these groups. All agreed they're excited to be working together in this effort. OJ said he feels those who have come before on board with his original hopes and plans have gone above and beyond to make this work. They're grateful for those who have made this place feel like home in the past, currently, and looking to the future. They want Garden View West to be the preeminent place to be in Arthur for senior care. We'll move now to the obituaries. Christopher Wayne Bontranger, 41, of Decatur, passed away on Tuesday, July 21, 2026. Visitation will be held at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday, July 29th at Penn Station, 122 East Progress Street in Arthur. Funeral services will be held at 1:30 p.m. following the visitation at Penn Station. Burial will follow in the Arthur Cemetery. Jonas J. Schrock, 86 years, 7 months, of Arcola, passed away at 8:30 a.m. on Thursday, July 23, 2026, at his residence. Funeral services were held Monday, July 27, at the Elmer Miller residence, rural Arcola. Bishop Irvin E. Miller officiated. Burial followed in the Yoder Cemetery. Visitation was held Saturday, July 25, and Sunday, July 26, all at the Elmer Miller residence. Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Our mother, Vera Lee Jean Miller, passed from this life to her eternal home in heaven on July 22, 2026. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. on Sunday, August 9th at the New Life Church, 1502 Cook's Mill Road, Sullivan. Pastor Dave Dolan will officiate. Burial will follow in the Arthur Cemetery. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the funeral at the church from 1 to 2 p.m. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Melvin Clark Mel Dyer Sr., 86, of Humboldt, passed away at 11:01 p.m. on Wednesday, July 22, 2026, at Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon. Visitation will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 1st, at the Edwards Funeral Home, 221 East Main Street, Arcola. Funeral services will be held at 3 p.m. following visitation at the funeral home. There will be a fellowship meal for family and friends at the Humboldt Town Hall following all of the services on Saturday. Howard A. Kuhn, 73, of Arthur, passed away at home on Thursday, July 23, 2026, at 12:08 a.m. Visitation was held Friday, July 24th, and Saturday, July 25th, at Pleasant View School, Arcola. Funeral services will be held at the school on Sunday, July 26. Burial will follow at the Pleasant View Church Cemetery. Janine Ellen Andres, 80, of Tuscola, passed away at 5 p.m. Monday, July 20, 26, at the Haven of Tuscola. Celebration of life services will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, August 1st, at the Hilligoss Schrader Funeral Home, 705 South Main Street, Tuscola, with Peter Terry Smith officiating. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the service at the funeral home. Burial will be at the Tuscola Township Cemetery. Jonas J. Schrock, 86 years, 7 months of Arcola, passed away at 8:30 a.m. on Thursday, July 23, 2026. Funeral services were held Monday, July 27th at the Elmer Miller Rural Arcola. Bishop Urban Miller officiated. Burial followed at the Yoder Cemetery. Visitation was held Saturday, July 25th and Sunday, July 26th at the Elmer Miller residence. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Infant twin sons, Hudson and Edwine Romine, Bennett and Michael Romine of Colton, and Lana Bloomer Romine, were welcomed into heaven on July 21, 2026 at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. They received sacraments of baptism and confirmation by Father John Titus. Private family services were held on Friday, July 24th at St. Mary Help of Christians in Green Creek. Father John Titus officiated. Burial was at the St. Mary Help of Christian Catholic Cemetery in Green Crook. The Howard Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. The next article, County Clerk, notice for vote-by-mail ballot going out soon. Douglas County Clerk Judy Pollock announced that all registered voters in the state of Illinois will receive by mail within the next few weeks a notice for vote-by-mail ballot in compliance with the following statutes, 10 ILCS 5-19-2.5. Section 19-2.5, notice for vote-by-mail ballot. An election authority shall notify all qualified voters except those who have applied for permanent vote by mail status under subsection B of section 19.3 or voters who submitted a written request to be excluded from permanent vote by mail status. This mailing will allow voters, if they choose, to request their vote by mail ballots using one of the following options. 1. Single election vote by mail application. 2. Permanent vote by mail status. 3. Choose to opt out of future mail postcard mailings. As always, voters will continue to have the option to vote early in the county clerk's office or vote on election day at their polling place. The Douglas County Clerk is advised that if anyone has additional questions concerning this information, contact her at 217-253-2442. The next article, model plane pilots to fill champagne skies for free Barnstormers event August 8th through the 9th, plus a free training session Thursday evening for aspiring pilots. For 2 days in August, the sky above West Champaign will belong to the model airplanes. The Champaign County Radio Control Club will host its annual Barnstormers over Champaign event Saturday, August 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, August 9th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The free event draws remote control pilots from around Illinois and gives the public an up-close look at planes ranging from tiny stunt models to jets capable of topping 170 miles per hour. Barnstormers showcases radio-controlled aircraft of every size and style, organizers said, from World War I-style biplanes to modern jets. Pilots will put the planes through exotic stunts and low, fast passes just inches from the ground, with some aircraft cruising as slow as 30 miles per hour and others racing past at 170 miles per hour. The hobby draws pilots of all ages, and the event gives the area residents a chance to see the airplanes in action and talk with the people who fly them, according to the club. Representatives will also be on hand for information about the club's RC Thursday evening training program, a free instructional series for people interested in learning to fly. Students don't need their own plane to take part. The club provides the equipment. New pilots are asked to bring only sunglasses and a hat. Admission and parking are free, and the club is welcoming photo and interview opportunities during the event. The Champaign County Radio Control Club field is 3616 Bloomington Road, about 2.2 miles west of Mattis Avenue on Route 150. The Champaign County Radio Control Club is a registered Illinois nonprofit. More information is available at the ccrcc.club. Those with questions can contact the event chairperson, Dan Irwin, at 217-417-0198. Atwood Hammond Lion Club tractor track pull set for July 31st. The Arthur Atwood Lions Club presents the 5th annual Tractor and Bragging Rights Truck Pull set for Friday, July 31st at 6 p.m. during the Moultrie-Douglas County Fair in Arthur. The event promises to be a night of smoke, speed, and fierce competition with some tractors exceeding 5,000 horses. Two new classes highlight this year's pull, a 10,500 open pro stock featuring local pullers Travis Kunz and Lance Little, and a 10,500 farm stock. You'll see Fred Helmuth and Floyd Miller in the 6,850 pro farm, and the Castile family and Jerry Bolton pulling the classics. This is the only night where you'll see your local pullers on the same night at their home track. Returning this year will be two Bragging Rights truck classes. Local drivers will take the truck with four-wheel drive gas and four-wheel drive diesel classes. To participate, drivers must be residents in either Cole, Douglas, Moultrie counties, or the CUSD No. 305 school district. The vehicles must be licensed and street legal. The pull is a fundraiser for the Arthur Arthur Atwood Lions Club, fundraised from the pool, remain in the local community and are used to help those with diabetes and vision issues, scholarships, and other local and humanitarian projects. For information regarding the pool, please call Jim Fleming, 217-791-1026. The next article is the I'm Just Saying by Mike Carroll, More Majors Than the Pentagon. College starts in 2 weeks or so. Time for high school seniors going to college to figure out their major, to start defining who they're going to become. Some lucky folks know from grade school that they want to be what they want to be when they grow up. Not me. I didn't have a plan, but Mom did. Dr. Carroll, M.D. 61 years ago, entering college, my major was pre-med, a small-town Dr. Welby, beloved by all because that's what Mom said I should do, and Betty knows best, doesn't she? But like insurance salesman Woody Harrelson said in the movie Doc Hollywood, when explaining why he wasn't a doctor, that science stuff got to me. Sorry, Mom. I probably should have gone to class. So I switched to sociology. Don't ask me why. Probably that girl I saw walking into sociology class, and like a lost puppy, I just followed her in. Then I worried, who in the world needs a sociologist? How will I pay rent? Suboptimal choice, I thought. After reading the works of theologians like Tillich and Niebuhr, I thought of majoring in theology, but I had a better chance of landing a job as a sociologist, which was slim to none, and slim had died. Admirable major, but associated with a life of abject poverty. Then it was on to be a potential career in the Foreign Service, a Soviet specialist like Ambassador George Kennan, a Cold War warrior whose biography inspired me. The Cold War was hot. I was needed. But that Russian language stuff confounded me. Probably lucky this didn't come up, because how could I negotiate with Boris? So I dunk my wandering toes into art and then astrophysics, and I even fell in love with 19th century Russian literature, e.g. Tolstoy and Dostoevsky, for which I discovered there were three possible upcoming JOWA openings in North America in the next century. Lots and lots of majors fell by the wayside in my college voyage. I felt like Ulysses fighting my way back home. Finally, the last refuse of a Renaissance person who isn't a clue what to do here was history and political science, a very popular major for the perpetually perplexed. I had more majors than the Pentagon. In the end, it boiled down to my graduate school in political science and law, which I'd do in lieu of the military draft if I joined ROTC and became a reserve officer. You see, Uncle Sam had a job waiting for me in Vietnam, infantry rifleman, a.k.a. bullet catcher. It was unavoidable 2 years major in the war. I applied to 2 graduate degree programs, a PhD program in political science at Washington University, and law at the U of I. On the other hand, I imagined myself as a college professor of political science, standing tall in a corduroy jacket with leather elbow patches, a calabash pipe hanging loosely from my lips, perhaps a dandy ascot, students hanging on every word as if I were a burning bush, summers off to write my memoir and advise the president. Very nice life. But I eventually chose law at the U of I, primarily based upon a desire to finally win an argument with Mom. This choice turned out to be fortunate, because on February 23rd that school year, protesters burned down the Army's ROTC Center at Washington U, and the program ended. Things got a little hairy back then. Almost 40 years later, I retired. During the legal career, wanting to experience as many opportunities as life could offer, I crammed in owning various retail businesses, writing weekly articles for the paper for decades, developing subdivisions, inventing steel-belted radial tires, and writing a theology book for over 20 years on the problem of evil. The last one was a step backward to pursue my love of theology, which proves some passes up choices can be resurrected. Today at 79, I still don't know what I want to do with my life, hungering for more vocations and negotiating for more time. Perhaps I'll go back to college, get that medical degree. I think I got this insatiable appetite for life and all of its glories from Mom. Indefatigable, she went back to college at age 55 as a freshman and got her degree. She was still a beautician, played the organ at church, working for the census, going door to door in her 70s, etc., wanting to do more even when her legs and mental acuity left her. The last 10 years of her productive life were devoted to daily care, first to my sister Melinda for 5 years and then Dad for 5 years, both bedridden, suffering debilitating illnesses. During those 10 years of selfless service to my family, I told Mom I felt sorry for her burden. She quickly corrected me and said it was a blessing. I'm confident that with a deep belief in God, she could look in the mirror and say, like the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there's a major to die for. Next article is The Ramblin' Man by David Porter, a self-installing sleep aid and time-delayed self-defense. Not that you care, it's just necessary to note for this story. I wear a mask over my eyes when I sleep. I tend to work at night, so I sleep during the daylight hours, thus the sleep mask. Not that there's anything wrong with using a sleep mask at night, either. I like it. Pitch black, quiet, warm when I sleep. Anyway, you don't need to know all of that. I'd like to be through it is all. I'd like to have 500 words so I shan't shrivel the drivel. Gotta dawdle the drabble, dobble, double, gobble, gather the blather, tripe the tripe. Just get on with it already. Get nix the nonsense. Okay, jeesh, it's my story. I'll tell it any way I want to. Anyway, I lay down the other day because lied and laid are incorrect, although they sound better colloquial use, and I wasn't going to wear the sleep mask because it was dark enough in the room, but the mask was on top of my pillow. When I lay down, my head was on top of the strap, and when my noggin sank into the pillow, the mask slid over the top of my head, my mask put itself on. Well, that was funny to me. Maybe you had to be there, but if you had been there, it would have been weird, which got me to thinking that there was some, was there someone there? I'd be quite at a disadvantage that my eyes were covered by myself installing sleep aid. I'm not paranoid about anyone breaking in. There's nothing in my house that your average to exceptional burglar would want to steal. It would take a pretty dumb prowler to pick my house for treasure hunt. Nope, nobody with any sense is going to risk jail time for 47 cents in loose change in a closet for 30-year-old t-shirts. Growing up, we didn't even lock our doors at night. I don't know anyone who did, but that was a brief time nearly 50 years ago when someone was taking meat out of the deep freeze at night. I told my mom we needed to start locking the back door. She said, I'm not going to do it. If they're desperate enough to steal food out of the freezer, they need it more than we do. Dad always said, locks only keep honest people out. Crooks will find a way in. This is from the same people who would beat my backside if I snuck a stick of chewing gum without permission. I'm probably not as charitable or forgiving as my parents. I just don't have anything worth stealing. I do have some popsicles in the freezer, and you better keep your mitts off of them. I'll tell you just flat out, I don't own a gun, so you're not going to get shot breaking into my house. But I do own a baseball bat, so if you're still there in 20 minutes after my knees start working and my eye addresses the light, you're really going to get it. And we have time for some briefs. Free haircuts. Tuscola's First Christian Church Women's Ministry is offering free kids' haircuts for back to school. The event is from 2 to 4 p.m., Sunday, August 9th, at the shed behind the church, 100 Church Street, Tuscola. Please call 217-253-2394 if interested in a haircut. A parent must accompany students, and students' hair must be washed. The cuts are offered on a first-come, first-served basis. Run for the Fallen set. The 17th annual Illinois Run for the Fallen is scheduled for Saturday, August 15th at Linder Sports Complex, 2924 Community Drive in Charleston. It's from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and it's a free non-political event to honor and remember Illinois service members who have fallen in the global war on terror. Participants walk or run 1 mile or more for their chosen service member or can be pre-assigned. Pre-registration is preferred, but participants can register at the event. To print a registration form, go to www.illinoisrunforthefallen.com/registration. Mental Health Fest. The Douglas County Health Department is holding a Mental Health Fest 12 noon to 3 p.m. July 31st at the Villa Grove Rec Center, 2 to 5 p.m. August 1st at Irvin Park in Tuscola, and 2 to 5 p.m. August 3rd at Arthur's Eberhard Park. Activities include water balloons, sponge painting, water sprayers, chalk, animal balloons, water prizes, and more. For more information, call 217-253-9137. Touch a Truck. A free sensory-friendly Touch a Truck event is scheduled for 10 a.m. till 12 noon, Saturday, August 1st at Kellymore Park in Arcola. The event is sponsored by the city and the Douglas County Autism Tribe. Community invited. The Women's Christian Temperance Union will meet Monday, August 3rd, 10 a.m. in Chesterville, a corner diner. WCTU is celebrating 150 years and maintains its world headquarters in Evanston at the home of founder Francis E. Willard. Visitors are invited to attend to learn more about the WCTU and enjoy lunch. Another WCTU meeting will be at Monocle's Pizza in Villa Grove, Saturday, August 15th at 11:30 a.m. Visitors are welcome. For more information, call 217-234-9827. Ice Cream Social. The Arthur Mennonite Relief Sale will host its annual Ice Cream Social on Tuesday, August 4th from 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the Arthur Community Building. Guests can enjoy a menu featuring pulled pork barbecue sandwiches, homemade ice cream, cake, and cobbler. Homemade ice cream flavors will include vanilla, cookies and cream, butter pecan, butterfinger, and peach. The event is donation-based, with proceeds supporting the Arthur Mennonite Relief Sale ongoing relief efforts. For information, call Glenn Rhodes at 217-273-5026 or Stan Helmuth at 217-246-3712. Next one is Caregivers. If you're caring for a loved one, spouse, parent, or child with a disability, the Caregivers Group invites you to join them. They meet Zest for Life Center at Villa Grove, 610 West Harrison, 1:30 p.m. on the first Wednesday of each month. They're a free, informal group. If you have questions, text or leave a message at 217-369-7071. That is all the time we have this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye and see you again next week.